And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again. I hope all of you enjoyed your weekend. We had some wonderful weather this weekend here in Southeast Virginia. I live not too far from a lake. The lake is surrounded by woods. I love going out in the woods and sitting on the lake, and got to spend some time doing that this weekend, and it was gorgeous. So and by the way, I was social distancing, because I was all by myself. Listen, my wife doesn't go out there with me, because in order to get to the lake, you got to go through the woods. And my wife doesn't mind the lake, but it's the woods that, you know, I don't want to, yeah. It's a little rough, but oh my goodness, it was really wonderful. It's become one of my favorite spots to pray, to meditate, to just seek God's face, to relax, to rejuvenate. I always leave the lake feeling strengthened and encouraged. It's a boost. I hope you've got something like that does that for you. Maybe it's a hobby that you enjoy. Maybe it's a particular spot you like to go to. But, you know, it's always good. You know, I believe God has special places for us. You know, the Bible says, go into your secret closet. Sometimes that closet is not a room in a house. Sometimes that closet is a particular place, a particular horizon that you like to look at. So, but I hope whatever you did, that you enjoyed your weekend. Hope you got to church. I did. We have continued to have church services. Of course, we are practicing social distancing, not among families, but among those who come. And of course, sometimes people do like to, they do like to talk. I guess I've got some fairly radical folks in my congregation who really just believe that God's going to protect us from this, and we're not going to cower in fear over this thing. But you know, I think people are doing the fundamental things. You know, practicing hygiene, washing their hands. You know. Obviously, not sneezing on people, and, you know, doing dumb stuff. Folks, you know, we really need to get back to normal in this country. And I refuse to accept the idea. I refuse to accept the idea that we're never going to, that it's over, that we're never going to have football, baseball, basketball games where people are packed into stadiums, that we are never going to have church services where people are sitting side by side in the pews. I just refuse to accept that. I just absolutely, categorically reject that. I'm just in rebellion against that idea. And every time I hear it, it just rankles me. Because why should we let this coronavirus, which is of a devil, why should we let that change our lives and change the nature of our culture? And I can see making the adjustments we need to make, obviously, to try to deal with this thing, of course. But permanently, no. And every time somebody announces, yes, things will never go back to the way they were, this is going to mean a fundamental change, and we're going to have to establish a new normal. And I just want to say, shut up, you know, just shut up, because you don't know what you're talking about. So, folks, listen, there's a lot to talk about today, and I hope you all are doing well, and that your families and you and are safe and sound and healthy. We're praying for you. Please keep praying for us. You know, we need it individually. Our network needs it. We care about you all, because, you know, this is a relationship between us and you, and without you all, what we're doing is meaningless, right? So thank you all for your support and your prayers. There's a lot to talk about today. I don't know whether I'm going to be able to get to all of it, but let me start this way. Here in Virginia, a church called the Lighthouse Church, which I've preached at, by the way, on more than one occasion, the pastor was cited for having violated the governor's quote-unquote order, which he had no constitutional authority to give the order in the first place, Governor Ralph Northam. I'm trying to come up with a good, nice nickname for him. I've been trying various ones on Ralph Adolf Northam, Ralph Stalin Northam, Ralph Mal Northam. Maybe you all can come up with something that fits him. How about Ralph Abortion Northam? Yeah, that almost has a little alliteration there, and it certainly does fit, doesn't it? But at any rate, as a result of his order, this pastor was cited and arrested and is threatened with a $2,500 fine and I think up to 6 months in prison. The attorney general's office has sided with the pastor because, folks, I've been at that church. The news reported the church holds 225. I think it's larger than that. I think it holds more people than that, particularly if you consider the stage and everything else. They had 16 people in the church, folks. 16 people in a building that holds probably somewhere between 250 and 350 people. And they got cited for violating the governor's quote-unquote order. Now, you can social distance with that number in that larger facility all day long, but that wasn't enough because, you know, we got to have control. Well, thank God the attorney general's office has spoken up against it and said that's a violation of this pastor's rights. It's a violation of those church members' rights. It is unreasonable. It applies a standard to the church that is not being applied to any other institution where people are being trusted to use the facility and still practice social distancing, even though there may be more people in a given location than the exact number 10. So thank God the attorney general's office is on the right side of history. We spent 8 years with an attorney general who couldn't find the right side of history if you hit him upside the head with it. So thank God we've got an attorney general who's on the right side of the Constitution, the right side of history, and frankly, the right side of God. So just wanted to let you know that's sort of working its way through. And by the way, yours truly, thank the Lord, I've not been touched, have not been accosted. And I won't go into the details, but needless to say, you know, we have gone on with our worship services in a very responsible way. In fact, you can catch our worship services online at EW Jackson SR every Sunday morning. I'm usually firing up the live stream somewhere around 11:45. And we're going to keep doing that, folks. We're just not quitting. We're not quitting. Because I don't think that we are constitutionally required to do so. And just like this pastor, 16 people in a church that seats 300 to 250, and then you've got the nerve to go in and harass him and cite him and threaten him and with prison. Oh, I mean, the whole thing just disgusts me. Well, look, I've said that in spite of how nasty this whole pandemic hysteria is, there are some blessings in disguise that are coming out of this. And I thought of three that I want to share with you today, and each of them will lead me to a couple of stories that I think are related. One, we have learned something about our vulnerability in terms of our own supply chain for medicine, for food, for even some of our military equipment. And that's something that I think we're going to have to correct. Now, that brings us to the second point, which has to do with China. And we found out that after being told 50 years that China was going to become like us, that China was going to be a free nation, that China was going to reform, that China was going to do this, do that, folks, China is a bigger threat to the United States of America now than it's ever been. And the third is the vulnerability of our Constitution to those who don't respect it and disregard it and will trample it in order to get what they want. Stand by. We'll come back in a minute.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson.
As more politicians and policymakers debate how to open up cities and states, questions about medical risk versus economic concerns dominate these discussions. But there is another risk that deserves to be considered, mental health risks. The consequences of an economic shutdown spill over into the mental health arena. First, let's dismiss one statistic that has been floating around since the 2015 movie The Big Short. Brad Pitt plays the character Ben Rickett, who warns two investment bankers that when every 1% unemployment goes up, 40,000 people die. It's an alarming statistic, but very questionable. The basis for this percentage goes back to research in the 1970s and has been challenged. You know, when more than 20 million Americans have filed for unemployment, you can see that we are headed towards something that looks like the Great Depression. One Federal Reserve economist grimly predicted that unemployment could reach 32%. Let's hope that that economic model is way off. What are the risks? You find slightly different numbers that are within a small range. The National Bureau of Economic Research found that with every 1% increase in unemployment, there was a 1% increase in suicides and a 3.6% increase in overdose deaths, while another study found 3.3% increase. An analysis by the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention found that the death rate for Americans aged 25 to 44 rose by 8% from 2010 through 2015. They concluded that the financial crisis did not create the opioid epidemic, but accelerated it through other deaths of despair. While we are considering the medical risks and financial costs, we must also keep in mind the mental risk as well. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Socialism, go to viewpoints.info/socialism. That's viewpoints.info/socialism.
Here's Brian Clark with today's Bible Minute.
Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Keep sober in spirit. Fix your hope completely on the grace to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. If these verses from 1 Peter sound like a military alert, well, that's the point. Life's a battlefield, and Peter's urgently alerting you to be combat ready. In other words, be focused so that when the battle gets tough, and it will, you won't be distracted by things that ultimately don't matter. Instead, with absolute clarity and discipline of mind, you'll confidently stand in Jesus and the hope he provides through his grace and mercy. This is a sure hope that can never be diminished or taken away. So regardless of what today brings, you have every reason to hope in Jesus, who's coming soon to fulfill your salvation.
To hear more Bible Minutes, visit backtothebible.org/Bible Minute.
Brian Fisher here. Hydroxychloroquine saves 52 out of 53 patients in a Texas nursing home. So why is remdesivir the standard of care? Governors are ordering house arrest based on politics, not science. A farmer says things could get bad for our food supply. And James Comey and the deep state committed prosecutable crimes. Next on Focal Point.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Now, folks, on Sunday, I preached the third message at my church. On Psalm 91, and the title of the series is Psalm 91 Protection. And as a sort of intro to that message on Sunday, I was talking a little bit about the fear that has gripped the entire country. And in talking about that, I got to talking about, some of the things, obviously, that are somewhat, they're related, okay, to what we're facing right now with this coronavirus situation, which we know is, the disease is real and the impact on people's lives is real. I've questioned some of the data, some of the statistics we've been given, obviously, because I think some of it is just flat out wrong and is intended to try to elevate the level of hysteria and fear in the country. But nevertheless, it's a real thing that's got to be dealt with. It's got to be addressed, and I would never deny that. And we'll see just when all of this settles down and we can get some real facts. I'll tell you two things. One is I shared with my congregation the actual language of the CDC on how deaths are to be classified during this time. And folks, the language will startle you. I don't have it in front of me, but if I get a chance to get to it before the program is over, I'll share it with you. But the language will startle you. You can probably look it up. Because basically what it boils down to is they're saying if it is probable that a person who has passed away had coronavirus. And what does that mean? Probable. It should be classed as a coronavirus death. No, I'm serious, folks. No, I'm not exaggerating. That's what the CDC rules say, if it is probable. How do you determine that? And by the way, probable without any testing or laboratory verification, okay? That's not necessary if it's probable. And then they got a couple of other strange categories where they're talking about in keeping with certain vital statistics, which has nothing to do, but here again, without any laboratory testing or verification. And I just thought, well, wait a minute. In other words, even the CDC is saying almost any death that happens in a hospital or nursing home environment should be classed as a coronavirus death. I mean, folks, you know what? I have to find it. I want to read it for you because you'll see exactly what I mean. How can the numbers we're seeing be accurate if that's the standard that they're using? So at any rate, but here's what I went on to. So I said, I wanted to find out more about what the general state of health is in the country and talk a little bit about that and try to compare that with, well, and what it's been to compare that with where we are. And one of the first things that came up was the Harvard School of Public Health. Well, obviously, that's what they do. They study public health. And they offer a degree in public health and so on and so forth. And guess what I discovered when I looked up the Harvard School of, well, looked up really, was looking at public health and the Harvard School of Public Health came up. I found out that in 2014, if I'm not mistaken, I'm hoping to the exact date I'll look that. I'll verify that, but I'm pretty sure it was 2014. The Harvard School of Public Health became the H.T. Chan School of Public Health because of a donation of $350 million given by two Chinese brothers who are the owners of a company that their father founded. They gave the largest single gift in the history of Harvard University, $350 million, and they named the Harvard School of Public Health. They changed the name to the H.T. Chan School of Public Health. So they take shorthand to say, well, Harvard Chan, but it's now named after a Chinese businessman. And I thought, wow, that's what may be arguably the premier public health institution in the country is named after Chinese businessman. And I know the objection that some people would have. Well, now, wait a minute, Bishop Jackson. Those are businessmen. You know, that's not the Chinese government. But anybody who believes that, folks, is naive because China does not have property rights and ownership as we do here in the United States of America. If you are a businessman and you own or businesswoman and you own a business in China, that business is ultimately under the absolute control of the Chinese Communist Party. And indeed, most people in business who are successful at it, who are significant business people in China, are members of the Communist Party of China. And you and it, by the way, if there were any such thing as you not being or not being a part of it, the moment you violate the Communist Party of China's rules, the moment you convince them that you are not a reliable player, you can be easily removed. Anyway, here in our country, you own something. The government has come. We don't like your position on the issue. We're taking that. Some people might try to do that, but the government does not have any lawful right to do that. Well, in China, they can just take what you've got. It's really more like a monarchy in the sense that you get to use what you have and enjoy it as long as you don't upset the king. And the moment you upset the king, he simply takes everything you've got and gives it to somebody who he thinks he can trust or who he likes or who he can rely upon. Well, look, so I'm reading this article about this, and the article's from Forbes magazine. But I'm not noting, even in the midst of this coronavirus situation, I'm not noting any kind of criticism or any questions about China. So I thought, well, wow, that's interesting. Who's writing this article? And I started looking into the Forbes magazine article and who wrote it. And lo and behold, guess what I discovered? Forbes magazine was purchased by Chinese businessmen. Yeah, Forbes magazine is no longer owned by Steve Forbes. It is owned by Chinese nationals. You know, folks, that got me to thinking, how much of our country have they bought? How much of our country do they own? I mean, just in that brief little research project I went on, I'm finding out they've insinuated themselves into our public health apparatus. They've insinuated themselves into our media. I mean, I just discovered that without a whole lot of digging. It just popped out at me. And yet you've got people in our country running around acting like raising the question of communist China's intentions toward the United States of America is somehow a distraction, and it's racist, and it's xenophobic, and it's this, that, and the other. Well, what I am more and more becoming convinced of, by the way, I just finished Stephen Mosher's book, The Bully of Asia, about communist China, and now I'm reading Pillsbury's book called The 100-Year Marathon, and he's also talking about China's real intention toward the United States of America. Anybody interested in this subject, those are two great authors and two great books that you really want to read. They're eye-opening. And Pillsbury makes clear that China's view of warfare is very different from ours, because communist China's view of warfare is that it's, in fact, there's a book that came out written by two Chinese members of the People's Liberation Army called Unrestricted Warfare, in which they made clear that warfare is fought not just with bullets and bombs. Warfare is fought on every level, business, culture. In other words, folks, what we're looking at with this coronavirus is this thing has been unleashed by a nation that is at war with us, even though we don't consider ourselves to be at war with them. Now, we're not in a hot war with them, but they see themselves as working to supplant, to undermine, to bring the United States down, or at the very least to subjugate to the United States to them. And we've got people in our own country who are attacking President Trump, who is trying to defend America, who was the first president in my lifetime since Richard Nixon went to China to say, hey, wait a minute, China's eating our lunch. Everybody else has been apologetic and defensive and placating and appeasing and oh, China's great. And so in light of that, folks, in light of that, think about a $1.5 billion deal with Hunter Biden. Does anybody really think that Hunter Biden got a $1.5 billion deal with communist China because he's just a brilliant investor? This guy had no experience or very little experience with high-level investing. That's a joke. Or does anybody think that he was given that money because they thought that somehow he was so gifted that in time he would multiply that into far more money that would benefit their regime? Well, based on what we know about Hunter Biden, I don't think that that's a fair conclusion either. Now, we know what they were doing, folks. And I hate to put it in these stark terms. I should say this may strike people as being stark. But they were buying the Biden family. That's what they were doing. They were buying the Biden family. They were buying their way into influence with prominent politicians in the United States of America. I mean, who are we kidding? So, folks, we've got a real problem that we better begin to wake up to and address.
It's my turn.
Here is your host for My Turn, Don Weilman.
We know it's been asked a lot of times, and there have been undoubtedly many answers to the question, What difference does the Galilean make in a life? Some years ago, I ran across a story that took place in a town in the Middle West. A church needed a janitor. The minister called his board together. He suggested that they employ a town loafer by the name of Anderson. There was silence for a short period of time, and then someone spoke. Is that the best we can do? He's been a bum for years. No one in the city has any respect for him. So they decided to wait another week and try to find someone else. Finally, in desperation, they employed the town bum. As time passed, he took pride in his work. He began to change. He began to take pride in himself. He kept the church clean and himself clean. He became polite, agreeable, and anxious to please. For a year, he sat on the back seat at every service and was a most attentive listener. Then one day, he went over to the minister's home and asked if he could join the church. The minister was glad that he had made that decision. After another year, he went again to the minister and asked permission to teach a class of boys. He was granted the wish and was still teaching the class when the minister left for another church. Well, it was several years before the preacher came back to the town. Some of the faithful church members met him. One of them greeted the preacher and spoke to him. "I'll drive you over to the home where you are to be a guest. Your host was tied up in a board of directors meeting at the bank and couldn't get away. You are to stay at the home of Mr. Anderson." The minister stopped and looked at the gentleman. He had a puzzled expression on his face. The gentleman explained what had happened. "Mr. Anderson is now one of the most popular and respected men in the city," he said. "He's president of the bank. A wealthy uncle discovered the transformation that had come over his nephew and left him a fortune in his will. He still teaches a class of boys in Sunday school, and he's also still janitor for the church. Many times he has said that God cleaned my life and soul, and as long as I live, I will personally see that his house is kept clean." Well, there you have it. A town bum who took a job as a janitor when no one else could be found became one of the outstanding citizens of the city. That's what the Galilean did for him. He put purpose and meaning into an otherwise meaningless life. I think that this story is a living example of what the little Jew tent maker meant when he wrote, "If anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." May I close by saying that this is not a new story about what the Galilean can do for one. It's an old story. It's also a story of what he could do for anyone when he has his way.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, folks, we're back. I'm going to try to get your calls in or at least start taking them in this segment. The number is 888-589-8840. Now, the question that you should be asking yourself, that I'm certainly asking, is now that we've been hit with this coronavirus, we know that it came from communist China. We know that they hid information from us about its contagious nature, that it could be transmitted from human to human. We know that they released flights from Wuhan after the virus outbreak. They released flights all around the world, particularly, though, to the United States of America. Now that we know all that, why wouldn't we be united across all political and partisan lines to oppose what we know has been an effort to do great harm to our country? 30 million people out of work, approaching 60,000 dead. Here again, I think that number may be inflated, but what I'm saying is I am not denying that this thing has caused death. Okay, I'm not denying that. China has unleashed this thing on the world. Why wouldn't we all be united across all party and partisan lines in opposing them and holding them accountable for what they've done? Well, listen to what Lindsey Graham says about this, because I think he nails it in this clip.
Another lane of yours is the China lane. You also have bills coming out to keep China's feet to the fire. They lied and they hid this coronavirus. Now the whole world is suffering. Tell me what you're going to do, and where are your colleagues on the left in terms of partnering with you against China?
Well, I've got a bill that says we're going to put sanctions on China's economy until they cooperate with the investigation about how the virus came out of the lab, if it came out of the lab at all, closing the wet markets that create these pandemics, and dealing with the abuse against the Hong Kong democracy advocates. But it doesn't matter what I do or what Ted Cruz does or Tom Cotton or Marshall Blackburn or Martha McSally. Where is Pelosi and Schumer? We've all got good ideas on the Republican side. The president wants to be tough. Where is the Democratic Party? Don't give China a pass. So to Senator Schumer and Nancy Pelosi, why don't you work with me and others to hold China accountable for killing over 60,000 Americans and having 30 million people lose their job? They're absolutely AWOL when it comes to China accountability. So none of this matters unless you can get Democrats involved.
Now, folks, why? Why? I mean, doesn't this seem to be a no-brainer? I got, my goodness, the cyber world went crazy when I said that anybody, any American who defends the Chinese communist regime after all what they've done to us, the horrific infliction of suffering and death upon our country, I said is a traitor. And it's worthy of being tried for treason, as far as I'm concerned. Oh, my goodness, they went crazy. And, of course, they misquoted me and said that I said anybody who, I forget how they did it, but they twisted it up and said what I did not say. Something about anybody who doesn't attack China. Well, I didn't say that. I said anybody who defends China, anybody who provides cover with China, anybody who makes excuses for China. Because Bill Gates had come out and said, trying to hold China accountable is a distraction. And China's done some really good things. They've done some really good things. I mean, that sounds like Joe Biden. They're good folks. And you wonder how much the pockets of these people have been lined by their business with China. I guarantee you, quite a bit. They bought the integrity of some of our people and basically who have been willing to sell the American people for a few, what do they call their money? I think it's yuan. I'm serious, folks. That's really where we are. Are you all aware, for example, that China has established Confucius Institutes and colleges and universities all over this country and spent millions of dollars in our colleges and universities with the understanding that you can't criticize China? And that a lot of universities have buckled to the pressure to get the money? Yes. They have in effect bought much of, just like this $350 million grant to Harvard. They bought much of our educational institutions and turned them into mouthpieces and apologists for communist China and this communist regime. Folks, it's unconscionable what they've done. And here again, why would any American public official not see that quite readily? And I'll tell you one of the reasons why. And people say, well, it's because they hate President Trump so much that they just can't even see what China's done. I think that's part of it, but I don't think that's the main thing. You know what I think the main thing is? I think the main thing is that they are ideologically simpatico with communist China. I think they have more in common with communist totalitarian ideology than they do with a constitutional republic. I think that's just where they are in their thinking. I think if you ask the average American politico on the left, do they believe that our rights and freedoms come from God? I guarantee you, if they were honest, they'd say no. They don't believe that. They don't believe the Declaration, and they don't believe the Constitution secures some inherent rights. I think they believe that rights are whatever we decide to make them, and that's it. So they are much more in agreement with Communist China, which is the people don't know what to do. We have to tell them. And we will control them. And we will use them like pawns on a chessboard and move them wherever and however we want to, for whatever purposes we want to, whenever we want to. And I think that's why they're not comfortable attacking Communist China. Because on some level, they're in agreement. So don't expect any courageous voices to arise out of the left saying Communist China is a threat to the future of world peace and to the future of our country and our prosperity, and they will do anything in their power to undermine us. Don't expect that, because it's not likely to happen in the same way. Remember, China, for the most part, now they had some tensions and some issues, but communism tended to bond China and the Soviet Union together. Yeah. Their common spiritual and ideological father, Karl Marx. The number is 888-589-8840. Let's go to your call, see if we can get a couple in before we have to take a break. Let's go to Autry in Louisiana. Autry, welcome.
Hey, my brother. Appreciate you, man, for all that you do for the body of Christ. And I agree with you 100% about what you said about China. There's no doubt about it. You know, the basic tenet of communism is there is no God, and they live just like that. And but I want to add, if you would, as bad as coronavirus has been, you know, God is using it to stir the body of the church to start using social media to get the word of God out, be it prayer lines, be it being on Facebook or Periscope where they couldn't meet. That is a wonderful thing, because now more people, not just the ones at their church, but more people everywhere are getting a chance to hear the word of God. And it's the word of God that's what's needed to open the eyes of people who are just totally blind.
Amen. Well, listen, Autry, I agree with you. And you know God does that all the time, doesn't he? He takes curses and turns them into blessings. Now, we certainly want to get people back in church, but it is great that more people are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I trust that that is what's happening. More people are hearing the gospel of Jesus Christ, and more people are turning to God in this very, very dark hour. So, Autry, thank you for the call. Let's try to get one more quick one in before the break. Let's go to Jamie of North Carolina. Jamie, welcome.
Thank you so very much, Bishop. The purpose of my call is to answer your challenge for a nickname for that governor up there. In the state of Virginia. I like to give him the nickname Ralph Cornbread Northam, because everything he touches crumbles.
Okay. Ralph Cornbread Northam. All right. We'll put that one on the list and see how everybody else feels about that. Jamie, thank you so much for the call. And folks, we'll be back to take your calls in a moment. The number is 888-589-8840. We've got some open lines, and we'll come back to talk about China and anything else you want to put on the table. Back in a moment.
Many of us right now have an abundance we didn't have before or didn't recognize before.
Kathy Lipp on Focus on the Family Minute.
Maybe your abundance, for some of us, it's money. I'm still working. Now, we've taken a big financial hit in one area of our business, but my husband still has his job. And so we know that we are in a better position than many people that we know. Some people have an abundance of time right now that they didn't have before. They never could go on a date because they didn't have the time to do it. And now they do. Maybe your abundance right now is energy. Maybe you're young and healthy. We all have to look to what is the abundance that we have that we can share with our neighbors, with our family, with others, while being totally responsible in our social distancing. But to recognize that abundance in our own life can go a long way.
More from Kathy Lipp at familyminute.org.
It's always important to know the issues of today.
We have a problem in this country with illegal immigrants who are here committing crimes.
It's also important to know how to manage your finances.
Anytime you get into the market, you have to get in extremely committed.
It's even more important to study and explore God's Word.
It is faith. That means trust. Faith in Jesus that saves.
You hear all of this every day
on AFR.
And if you want to hear it again, just visit the podcast page at AFR.net. American Family Radio newscasts are now available as a podcast.
I'm Rusty Pugh.
I'm Steve Jordahl.
Didn't catch the full story? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Chris Woodward.
I'm Chad Groening.
Didn't have the radio on at the top of the hour? Listen to the podcast.
I'm Charlie Bunch.
And I'm Fred Jackson.
Get accurate news from a Christian perspective whenever you want it with the American Family News podcast. You can also sign up for our daily news brief. Visit onenewsnow.com. Spring Share-a-thon is coming, May 19th through the 21st.
My name is Sherry. I discovered AFR last year, and I've been a Christian for 20 years, but they have helped open my eyes to so many things in this society. Thank God for AFR. I became a supporter last year and will continue as long as I am on this earth and I'm able to do so.
Hi, my name is Steve from New Jersey. It was my best friend Jeff from Richmond, Virginia, who told me about this station, and I've been listening ever since. I listen to Sandy Rios, Focal Point, Today's Issues, and Bishop E.W. Jackson while I'm at work. And then when I can't catch the live broadcast, I play the podcast the next day, and I want to know what happened and what I missed.
AFR is making a difference. Join us for our three-day spring share-a-thon, May 19th, 20th, and 21st. And thank you for standing with American Family Radio.
Back to the Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
Yes, indeed, folks. Looking forward to the spring share-a-thon. So be praying about that as we get closer and closer to it. Because as you all know, that's where we have an opportunity to talk to you all about what we're doing and get your support for it. And it's a tremendous blessing to us. It's what helps keep this network going. Look, Michael Pillsbury wrote this book, The 100-Year Marathon. Let me give you a quote from it. This is on page 316 of the book. He says, Chinese have for years divided foreign country policymakers into various categories according to the degree to which the Chinese believe they will promote Beijing's preferred messaging. Major Chinese embassies formed friendship committees to track these individuals, evaluating key politicians, business leaders, and media figures in each national capital and situating them on a spectrum ranging from friendly to hostile. The Chinese refer to those considered sympathetic as China's, quote, dear friends. In the United States, the list includes a plethora of academics, current and former government officials, and a large number of American national policy, security policy advisors from both political parties. So China actually classifies Americans as to whether they may be relied upon to promote the China line on issues. Like when these leftist politicians accuse the president of being a racist, did you all notice how China just glommed right onto that and said, yes, that's right. This is racist. How dare you accuse us? That's racist. That's xenophobic. And so we got people in our country who are basically propagandists for communist China, but shouldn't surprise us because they're propagandists for communism. Okay, let's go to your calls again. Let's see. We've got, let's go to Jackie from Michigan. Jackie, welcome.
Yes, good afternoon. Bishop, God bless you for your voice and your show and
thank
all
you.
The listeners out there. I'm calling from Grand Rapids, Michigan, and I feel as though we're being oppressed here in Michigan. And, you know, I can't wait for this to be over like a lot of other people. But I'm just
your governor. Listen, Jackie, your governor needs a nickname out there, too. She's a piece of work out there. I mean, wow, she's really something. Very, very arrogant.
Oh, yes, you know, and I called her office. I didn't get to speak to her, unfortunately, but I questioned the gentleman that answered the phone as to how can she be so concerned about lives? That's what they keep saying, lives. They're saving lives. And I say, well, she's in favor of abortion. She's an abortion governor,
mm-hmm.
And if you're not concerned about the life of the unborn, the helpless, defenseless babies, how can she be concerned about our lives or our job or our economy. I just don't believe it's possible.
She's not. She's not. So I mean, she's concerned about power.
And I'd like to ask you one other thing about these anchor babies that they've been allowing to come from China. I just wonder who is protecting the United States. You know, Bishop, and this is my opinion, not AFR or yours. I just don't see how come the American people haven't gathered the strength to get together and really march on Washington. Who are those bums in Washington that have been allowing the Chinese to come in and have babies and then go back to China? And can you imagine in 20 years, maybe if we survive that, those babies that are going to be adults are going to be coming to this country trying to overthrow this country. That's my fear. You know, Jackie, what other reason would you have for wanting to do that? So we're being attacked, you know, and while we're sleeping, we're being attacked. And, you know, people can just act like this is a dream and it's not happening.
No, it's not. It's not a dream, Jackie. In fact, listen, Jackie, thank you for the call, though. It's not a dream. It's a nightmare. And look, I couldn't agree with you more. It was one of the things I was going to bring up. We've got right now about 75. We've got something, as you all know, called birth tourism. And where people actually have a business of getting people into the United States in the final moments of their pregnancy so they can have the baby in the United States and create the baby as a citizen of our country. The biggest promoter and participant in that process is Communist China. That's right, folks, by far. They are the biggest participants in that. And you cannot tell me that they're not doing that to create American citizens who they can later send into our country and undermine us.
Hello, this is Bishop Harry Jackson of Hope Christian Church in Beltsville, Maryland.
Jesus said you would do greater works than he did. In other words, there's a miracle in your prayer, there's a miracle in your mouth, there's a miracle in your hands, but that miracle is a sign to those who are seeking peace, sign to those who want the truth, a sign to those who God has set you on your job, in your community, in your family to reach. Am I making any sense? So we need you to be a proclaimer of truth. We need you to believe that greater works are going to follow you. We need you to believe that these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall cast out devils, break the authorities of darkness. In my name, they shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. In my name, they will take up serpents. If the serpents try to strike them on the way to their assignment, they'll shake it off and it will do them no harm. Talking about my disciples, not somebody just making up a fairy tale or trying to preach the gospel to their personal advantage, but those who have humbled themselves and are led by the Spirit. And the Greek understanding of it would say, as many as are continually led of the Spirit, they are the mature sons of God.
Sorry about that, folks. We had a little technical problem there on my end, you know, a little internet connection. But thank you all for your patience. And let me see. I know there's some of you, I hope you're still waiting on the line. Give me a second here, and I'll try to get you right back up. I was talking about Jackie's comments about this anchor baby business, birthright tourism, and how deeply subversive that is. And look, I think, folks, all of us, and this certainly includes our public officials, as a result of this communist Chinese Wuhan virus pandemic, are going to have to rethink our national security requirements with regard to communist China, and maybe in general, because right now we don't need people buying into our economy when they're representing a subversive element. They're representing communism. We don't need that. We don't need people buying Smithfield Foods that are representing communist China, because that's our food source. That's a food source for us. We don't need people buying up technology companies. Are you all aware of the fact that that a Chinese telecom company was rerouting calls from California through communist China before they came to D.C.? They were doing that for about 2 years, unbeknownst to us, because they've insinuated themselves into our telecom system. And they were actually rerouting our calls through communist China before those calls went to Washington, D.C. I mean, think about that. So, folks, this is a very, very serious situation. And so that's the sense in which this thing is a blessing in disguise, because I believe it's awakened us to a reality that I don't think any of us had been aware of, because we've been for the last 50 years told that communist China was reforming and they would ultimately become like us and they were moving toward democracy. But we should have saw with Tiananmen Square that that was just a pipe dream. Okay, I think everything is back. Let's go to Donnie in Georgia. Donnie, you're on. You're on with me, Donnie. Are you there?
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you for taking my call. I wanted to I called you last week, got through to you. Thank you for taking my call again. But my main subject today is something I should have mentioned then, and it should have been a number one subject, and that is the murdering of our unborn. I think as a church, I've been a Christian a long time. As a church and as a group, all across the nation, all across the world, as Christians, we seem to be sitting back and saying it's okay to murder our babies. And now it's not just okay to murder them in the womb, it's okay to murder them outside of the womb. And I appreciate your show. You stand for what's right. And it seems that God has been dealing with me, and he's really strongly in the last year, maybe, saying somebody's got to be the voice of the unborn. So Amen. Donnie has picked up the mantle, and I want to be the voice of the unborn.
Well, Donnie, listen, I'm really short on time, but Donnie, thank you. Keep being that voice. We need more voices out there. God bless you for it. Let's see if we can get Christian in here real quick before we have to go. Christian from Texas. Christian, you are on. Christian from Texas, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for taking my call, Bishop Jackson. I have a question for you, Bishop. My question is this. Referring to the leftists that are attacking the Constitution, I'm sure some of them were very much aware of how this country was founded, that it was founded by the founding fathers who fled England to come here to start their own new life. And this country was founded under Judeo-Christian. All right. Mm-hmm. So if these people so hate Christians in this country, why can't they go someplace else and start a country where God will be absent from them? That was my question.
Well, Christian, that's a good one. And you're right. They have rejected that. I think that the left fundamentally rejects that idea. They don't believe that our rights come from God. They don't believe in liberty as we understand it as a gift from Almighty God. I think that here again. The last caller raised abortion. You know, Planned Parenthood works very closely with communist China, and they were forcing abortions. Remember, they're always talking about it's a woman's right to choose? But in China, no woman could choose. But the Planned Parenthood didn't seem to have a problem with that. So folks, remember, it's never about the issue. It's about the revolution. It's about power. And so you're absolutely right. They reject all of the founding principles of this nation. But you know what? We're going to defeat them, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit. Because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.